Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we want to congratulate the jurors in Scott Peterson's murder case. They just sentenced him or decided that he should be executed. He should be sentenced to death. And so the judge, Alfred DeLucci, will impose the official sentencing on February 25th. And because of our broken criminal justice system, he does have the power to grant leniency and convert that to life in prison. Hopefully he will not, and Scott Peterson will be executed for the murder of his wife and child. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that if the sentence against a guilty man is executed speedily, then there will not be a crime epidemic. That's a paraphrase, but a pretty close paraphrase. So it's been a month since the trial ended, since they found him guilty, over a month. And who knows how many hundreds of thousands of dollars this extra month has cost taxpayers. But if the system was not broken, then every convicted murderer would automatically be sentenced to death. And then we wouldn't have over 10,000 murders every year and people becoming murderers. And Lacey and Connor would be alive today, most likely. So at Denver Bible Church, we're thankful to the jury that they have decided that Scott Peterson should be executed. They recommended the death penalty. So praise the Lord for that. Now I want to bring you to Denver Bible Church yesterday and the sermon that I gave at the church. I'm not going to play a tape. I want to just sort of recreate it for you. You all know about the Christian cliches that Denver Bible Church and Bob Enyart Live has combated from the day the church was planted and the day Bob Enyart Live went on the air. Cliches chanted like mantras by Christians without a thought given to their validity. Don't judge. Forgive everyone. There's no time in heaven. Don't call anyone a fool. God does not change. Hate the sin, love the sinner. All sins are equal, and there are even unwritten, unspoken cliches which nonetheless influence all Christians, like this one, God became nicer in the New Testament. Not only are these damaging to the ministry of the gospel, but some of them are contradictory. For example, if you can't judge, then you can't forgive either, because forgiveness requires first making a judgment that someone has done wrong. So the Christian cliches make us look like fools. And there are millions of Christians who believe that God cannot change. And also, at the same time, even though it's a contradiction, they believe that he became nicer in the New Testament than he was in the Old. Denver Bible Church works to combat these damaging falsehoods. And this week, after reading a short letter written by Don Wildman's American Family Association, I've set out a new goal for myself to do a better job educating the body of Christ about the misuse of forgiveness. The mission statement of Denver Bible Church declares four basic goals: to win people to Jesus, to disciple believers to become more like Christ, to teach the Bible, and to train others to minister. And forgiveness is such a fundamental matter that misunderstanding or misusing forgiveness will hinder a church's ministry in all four of these important areas. Evangelism, discipleship, Bible teaching, and training for the ministry will all be messed up in some way if you're confused about forgiveness. In the past, and continuing today, we have taken on widespread Christian misunderstandings, such as judge not and being soft on the death penalty. If you look around our church, Denver Bible Church, you can see that we're not a mega church. No, we're not even a good-sized church. We are a pipsqueak church. as measured by size, but we carry a big stick. Yes, we fit in with the 90% of churches that have fewer than 100 members. And yes, if we continue to grow, we may make a greater impact on our world. But think about our impact for our size. There are different ways to measure a church's impact. What percentage of all those small churches out there make as great an impact as does Denver Bible Church? If the average small church was more like our peculiar church, I'll give you some examples. Millions of Christians would be able to answer the question that Billy Graham told George W. Bush that he could not answer after 9/11, which was, why does God allow evil in the world? And millions of Christians would better be able to evangelize evolutionists and animal rights activists and liberals and atheists. And there would be fewer abortions. And the public schools would be much more empty than they are. And marriages would be stronger and children happier. So now I'm suggesting that Denver Bible Church and Bob and Yart Live and me personally, that we put a bit more of a concerted effort into warning believers about the misuse of forgiveness. Now, when I started in broadcast ministry in 1991 on this station, KLTT, AM 670, I heard no one, never any Christian leaders in media speaking up against the absurd judge not mentality that was paralyzing the body of Christ. And through 13 years, we have consistently taught what Jesus taught, to judge with righteous judgment, to judge rightly. On TV for years and on radio, TV, you know, in 80 cities, five nights a week, from Honolulu through New Orleans to Orlando, Florida. For years, we taught Christians to judge until we were utterly sick and tired of the subject and persevered only by the conviction that we were trying to prevent Christianity from becoming increasingly irrelevant. We've sold over 1,500 t-shirts around the country saying, "Judge Rightly is not some guy's name." And we've printed and distributed over 100,000 Judge Not flyers, and people have downloaded hundreds of thousands of copies more. And then on the death penalty, a week ago, you'll recall, I had the opportunity on Court TV for 8 minutes to defend Christian advocacy of the death penalty at the Scott Peterson trial, and to conclude with the point that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God the Father demanded death, the crucifixion, as the just punishment for man's crimes. I doubt that in the history of Court TV, such clear words were ever spoken regarding the valid foundation of a criminal justice system. And it's not that we could convince a hard-hearted host like Lisa Bloom in 8 minutes, or the law professor who was on at the time, or the former prosecutors who opposed our call for execution. And in the process, by the way, they mangled the Bible's teaching on the death penalty. It's not that we could convince them, but we're reaching out to those who are searching for truth. Hey, by the way, you know the real reason we can't display the Ten Commandments in a courthouse? It has nothing to do with separation of church and state. You can't post prohibitions against stealing, adultery, and lying in a building full of politicians, judges, and lawyers. It creates a hostile work environment. Okay, we speak of the New Testament support for the death penalty, even on Court TV, because that's an opportunity to call out the truth as a clear signal, a beacon for those who are seeking to hear the truth. And sure enough, our phones rang with calls from California to Florida and right here in Colorado, mostly with people thanking us for standing up for the truth. Even from a stay-at-home mom not far from the courthouse in California, who we then mailed to her a copy of our DVD, Mount Moriah, The Evidence for the Resurrection. because we weren't sure if she's a Christian. Her name is Sarah. So we've distributed thousands of copies of our New Testament support for the death penalty video. And again, hundreds of thousands of copies online and in print of our death penalty brochures. Now, I want to get to the wonderful but sometimes frustrating American Family Association in the issue of forgiveness and my determination. Now, if I have to spend the next 15 years warning Christians about the dangers of forgiving wrongly. Now, before I do that, we'll take a quick call, right? Let's go to Littleton. Gordon, speak your mind. Hello, Gordon. Huh? Do we have Gordon? All right, Gordon, give it another shot. Nope. All right. Thank you for trying. Okay. If you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know that Jesus does not want us to forgive automatically, but to forgive those who repent. In Luke 17:3, Jesus taught that, quote, "If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." If he repents. All right, if your brother sins against you, Jesus didn't say, quick, forgive him. He said, rebuke him. And then forgiveness is automatic? No, it's conditional. Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If Christians misuse the powerful gift of forgiveness, we teach the world something false about God and salvation. We've often talked about the plot, that is, the story of the Bible. Well, what is the theme of the Bible? You know, we all went to public school, so most of us don't know the difference between the plot and the theme. But the theme of the Bible is salvation, God's love for man expressed through salvation. And salvation is all about forgiveness. And if you misrepresent or misuse forgiveness, then you misrepresent God and his salvation offered to unbelievers. Forgiveness is not and never has been automatic. Forgiveness requires repentance. Otherwise, it's meaningless. And to suggest otherwise will reinforce a damning notion. Millions of Americans who reject the gospel believe instead that as a God of love, that the Lord forgives everyone. And so hell, they think, will be an empty place, and salvation is not needed because God is all-loving and all-forgiving. You ever hear that from unbelievers? Oh, God is love, and you should forgive. Everybody's got to forgive. God forgives. God is forgiving. God is love. That's it. I don't need salvation. It doesn't matter if you trust in Jesus Christ or not. There's a God of love, and he's all-forgiving, and everybody's going to party forever eternally. That's it. Now, where do they get that idea from that he's an all-loving and all-forgiving God? Where do they get that idea from? The idea that sends millions of people to hell, where do they get it from? Does the Bible say that forgiveness is automatic and it should go out to everyone? No, the Bible doesn't say that. So where do millions of people get the idea from that God is all-loving and all-forgiving, that forgiveness is automatic, and that it goes out to everyone regardless of whether or not they repent? Where do they get such a damnable notion like that from? They get it from Christians everywhere, from Christians on the radio and TV, Christian leaders, Christian authors, who reinforce the despicable notion that you should forgive everyone automatically. Why, they even get it from Don Wildman and the American Family Association. Now, I know that I'm already in trouble just by saying that. So let me qualify that I have a deep love and respect for the Wildman family and their ministry. I mean, Bob and Yurt Live is a little drop in the bucket compared to the AFA. And they have accomplished much good in their battle against pornography and our anti-Christian culture. But that does not mean that they are inerrant. Nor does it mean that their errors should not be pointed out, and they shouldn't be confronted when they make an especially egregious error. Well, this past week, the AFA wrote a letter to CBS, and tens of thousands of AFA members, undoubtedly, they got a great group and they're very active, sent copies to the network complaining about Andy Rooney and his prejudice against Christians. Now, that's a great thing to point out to CBS. That's a good thing, and I'm glad the AFA is doing something about that. It was just a short letter, just three brief sentences, and it was on an important topic, rebuking Andy Rooney for yet another smear of Christians as ignorant and uneducated. Remember Jesse Ventura, former wrestler and governor of Minnesota? Remember he made the same argument, right, that Christians were fools? Well, this letter that they wrote, if Andy Rooney ever hears the voice of the Holy Spirit, a still small voice somewhere in his soul, and it ever gets to his conscious mind that maybe he is a sinner, maybe there is something, maybe there is a God, and maybe he's not God, and maybe he's a sinner, then to ignore that voice, to ignore the Holy Spirit, all Andy Rooney will have to do is remember the AFA letter. For their short letter has within it all he will need to shut out the gospel's warning of eternal separation from God. I'll now read their letter, and you can spot the error on your own. I won't even have to point it out. It's so glaring and obvious. Dear CBS, would you please ask Andy Rooney to stop his disparaging remarks toward Christians and accord those who strive to live their faith a little courtesy? Also, please inform Mr. Rooney that we forgive his bias against Christians. Finally, an apology from Mr. Rooney would be welcomed. Okay. Now, I would not be surprised to hear Andy Rooney ridicule this letter on the air by asking the AFA, why are they asking for an apology from someone that they've already forgiven? If a wife forgives her husband for being rude to her, does she then say, now, I want an apology? I mean, isn't that backwards? Isn't that backwards? First, she rebukes him and says, I want an apology. And then he repents, and she says, I forgive you. But you don't forgive first and then demand an apology. That's backwards. Jesus said, if someone sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. He didn't say, first forgive him, then rebuke him. I mean, that's inane. It's just inane. If you recall when Jesse Ventura said that he referred to churches, to organized religion, as, quote, a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people, unquote. And I have here the NBC News transcript from October 1st, 1999, and their reporter, Tom Avila, stated, Ventura did not apologize. He didn't say he is sorry about his comments, but he still expects forgiveness. Why not, right? Because the Christians, like the AFA, and you fill in the blank, virtually every major Christian ministry is guilty of enforcing this Christian cliche, although the Bible never, ever says that forgiveness needs to be automatic, and that repentance is unnecessary or superfluous. The Bible doesn't say that. But Christians everywhere have been taught, and they repeat to unbelievers, which is the damning part of this, that forgiveness should be automatic. And you immediately should forgive people. Even Scott Peterson, who murdered his wife and children. Many Christians say, well, we forgive him. What do you mean you forgive him? You don't have standing to forgive Scott Peterson. He didn't murder you. You're still here. We could tell by the knuckleheaded things you're saying. You're still here. You can only forgive those who sin against you. You can't forgive those who sin against your neighbor. Oh, yeah, if somebody sins against your neighbor and it makes you feel bad, then you could forgive them for feeling bad, but not for the crime of murder. Only God and the murder victim can forgive a murderer. And God will not forgive a murderer unless he repents. And has Scott Peterson repented? No, he still maintains his innocence. He continues to mock Lacey and Connor in the grave. That's how despicable Scott Peterson is, without remorse, and his family thinking they're helping him are just destroying him further. And he, them. So Jesse Ventura, he's reported by NBC News saying he didn't apologize, but he still expects forgiveness. And then Ventura himself said on NBC, he said, "My feeling on the religious end is that I think all the religious leaders will forgive me because I think that's what religion's about." Basically, he's mocking religious people again by pointing out that the fools that he had just called fools will forgive him for calling them fools because that's what fools do. They forgive wrongdoers even when they continue doing wrong. So I am making a commitment that I will take on the issue of forgiveness more directly, teaching Christians, and then hoping it filters up to our leaders, to pastors, to parachurch organizations like the AFA, to national leaders like Don Wildman, and Jerry Falwell, James Dobson, D. James Kennedy. And, you know, of all the Christian leaders, D. James Kennedy, he tends to be one of the best on the moral implications of the gospel. One of the best. And so I haven't personally heard him make this error, but pretty much everybody else is right in line for the most part. But I wouldn't be surprised. We'll have to, you know, if you know, if you have any information on D. James Kennedy and this topic of forgiveness, please feel free to call it in or let us know somehow. But we should teach Christians that you should not forgive automatically. We need to teach that to Christians and then hope it filters up to pastors, Sunday school teachers. Because forgiveness is not cheap and it shouldn't be presented as cheap. It costs the blood of Jesus Christ for God to forgive us. Forgiveness is not automatic. Automatic forgiveness makes repentance unnecessary. And unbelievers who reject Christianity on the grounds that God will forgive everyone, you know where they're getting their theology from? They're getting it from you. If you have ever repeated that inanity that we're supposed to forgive automatically. Because if Christians forgive everyone as followers of Christ, then they're sending the message that that's what Christ does. Right? We're supposed to love our neighbor because Christ loved his neighbor and we are told to follow him. And so the things that Christians do and the things that they teach and that they are taught are purportedly the things that God does and that God wants done and that God teaches. But the reality is that God does not forgive those who refuse to repent. And Christians who are nicer than God so often, you know, God doesn't forgive everyone automatically, but Christians do. Why? Because they're nice. They're not being righteous. They're not being just. They're not being spiritually mature. They're not being Christ-like. They're being nice. And Jesus was nice occasionally. He was harsh occasionally. But Christians today are nicer than God. And when the New Testament was being written, the author of Hebrews was worried that he couldn't hand out the meat. He had to deal with the milk. He had to deal with the milk because of how weak his readers were. But we've reached a point in the body of Christ where we can't even deal with the milk. The whole church is lactose intolerant. They can't handle the milk. They don't know they're supposed to judge. They don't know that if someone sins against them, they should rebuke that person and then forgive only on the condition of repentance. Christians are sending the message that God automatically forgives everyone, and that message sends millions of people to hell. So our beloved friends at the American Family Association, I have a message for you, and I send it in love. And in fact, we'll send CDs of Sunday's sermon from Denver Bible Church to the AFA in Tupelo, Mississippi. And I have this message to Don Wildman on this. It's simple. Here it is. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop misrepresenting forgiveness by teaching people that it should be automatic and that repentance is not necessary. You make repentance superfluous. Stop it. It's sending people to hell. By the way, here's the email that I sent to CBS. Instead of the one AFA wrote, here's the one I wrote. Dear CBS, why have you not publicly reprimanded Andy Rooney, for his anti-Christian bigotry? By the way, we Christians don't all forgive those who sin against us without requiring repentance. Jesus said in Luke 17:3, and I'm not quoting the Bible for the sake of CBS. They couldn't care less. I'm quoting the Bible for the sake of the Christians who may, by chance, read this letter and learn something from it. Jesus said in Luke 17:3 that if someone sins against you, quote, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him, unquote. And if Rooney ever does issue an apology, suggest to him that it not be a backhanded insult, as in, if anyone was offended, I'm sorry. Repentance is supposed to be for your own actions, not for the reactions of others. Sincerely, Pastor Bob Enyart, Denver Bible Church. In Noah's day, God brought the flood, not forgiveness, to all mankind. Abraham, Moses, David, and the prophets, they didn't forgive, but they rebuked those who wronged them. John the Baptist did not forgive, but rebuked those in the wrong. Jesus rebuked and did not forgive the Pharisees, scribes, and lawyers. Paul did not forgive Alexander the coppersmith. And the two witnesses in the apocalypse, they don't forgive those attacking them. Yes, God calls on us to love our enemy. But when you distort the truth and suggest that repentance is unnecessary because forgiveness comes automatically, then you're not loving your enemy, you're condemning him. So join me, sadly but with determination, as we must lay again the foundation of repentance so that Christianity can reach those who need not be lost. Hey, and by the way, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school. 431-5653, beautiful, beautiful campus, 100 staff, you'll love it.